Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That's why one of us was drafted one overall, and the other has been described as a high motor effort player. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And you may have seen Jhené over hanging out on the jump with Rachel Nichols. She got a lot going on. She's helping conquer the world right now, as she always does. And so we get to talk to one of our friends. You heard her on the show last week with Jhené. Monica McNutt, kind enough to join us here today. What's going on, Monica?
Nothing much. Golic, thanks for having me. These are big shoes to fill, so I got to hold my sis down. But I'm super excited to kick it with you for the next, what, we got 3 hours?
Well, I mean, listen, like, yeah, we got 3 hours on this one. And, like, you say big shoes to fill, but I always marvel that, like, somehow I always end up next to someone really accomplished who's got, like, multiple jobs and was a baller here. Like, I don't understand how this keeps happening to me. I'm very grateful for it because it makes my life a lot easier, but that's a congrats to you.
And I appreciate that. I swear, I'm going to miss after I've made my introduction on almost all of our shows and I don't get this warm welcome anymore where people roll out my accolades and why I'm cool. So I hope that we can capture this moment in time and save it for forever, but I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you, former Georgetown Hoops baller. You can catch her hosting MSG PM on MSG Network. You've seen her all over around the horn, everywhere else here at ESPN, so we're excited to have Monica here today. We're going to have a few other friends join us today. Ryan Holland's going to join us in about a half hour, help break down some of what we saw in the association last night. Mark Spears, our uncle, going to stop by as well as we get ready and see some odds changing around that third overall pick in the NFL draft. And Dejounte Carrington, speaking of the draft, we got the WNBA draft getting ready to go live tonight. Some young women going to find out their future in that league. So lots to get to, but Monica, I don't know if you were like me last night. We were taking everyone up to the coverage of Nets Sixers here yesterday on ESPN Radio. And somewhere about the middle of the fourth quarter, I was like, all right, 15 to 20 point lead in any given time. I felt pretty good about this one and turned my focus to Avengers Infinity War. And then all of a sudden I looked up and saw Joel Embiid checking back in and realized this lead got erased rather quickly here and didn't know what to make of it before the Sixers ultimately held on to win.
You know, Go, like, I had it on. I wasn't really watching, but similar to you, I was like, wait, the Sixers are putting their people in. Like, this is a game again. And so I did watch the tail end of it. Here's the thing. The Sixers obviously are the unit. I think that finishing first place and all that good stuff would mean much more to, like, Joel is not minced words when it comes to his pursuit of both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, which is going to be really interesting considering one of his biggest competitors is his own teammates. But this is still kind of a small deal for me. I just think the Nets are an embarrassment of riches and they kind of just fumble around a little bit. And by the time we get to, what, mid-May when the regular season ends, they're going to be locked in and loaded with all three weapons, which everybody knows we've only seen together 7 times so far this season.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And you're right, that feels inevitable. And for people that want to slight the 76ers, like, who among us has not taken our foot off the gas when you're stomping somebody out the way the set? Like, the 76ers won that game the way they needed to. They just didn't finish the right way.
Right.
But the embarrassment of riches is where I want to stick here, because Julius Erving came out and gave the quote to everyone that the Nets were buying a championship, compared it to the Lakers, to the Yankees in the past and this. And Monica, I heard this and immediately kind of pulled back. Where are you at on this and the concept of the Nets buying this championship in the way you just described?
Okay, and? Like, okay, and? Tell me something I don't know. Here's the deal, Gola. And this, I know you get it. Like, as soon as we get older and we step away from whatever our craft is, the first sign of criticism is the first sign that you're catching an OLD bug, right? And so I think, again, Julius probably looks on the era in which he played basketball and how organic guys play together and the little shorts and the Converse or whatever. Like, of course he has something to say. And when this all came together, it was kind of like, oh, man, here we go. But at the same time, the front office of this organization has been savvy enough to pull it off with all of these stars. This is a league that is driven by the biggest personalities. You got three of them, and they decided they wanted to play together, and the numbers worked. Who are you going to blame?
That's what I keep looking at and wondering. Like, is it not the job of these organizations to do exactly what the Nets did? Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Monica McNutt hanging out today. And that's the part that irks me, because we're only a couple of years removed, Monica, from everyone lauding the Nets for what they had built around there. A great culture, being a fringe playoff team that got by without any of these superstars, but created a spot where people were going to want to come. And now that it happened, like, the Nets as an organization can't control God. They just better get down on their knees and thank God every night that Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden all decided this was where they wanted to go. Like, I feel like Dr. J is ignoring that fact that we're talking about players and what they decided in this spot. The team just happens to be the beneficiary.
The only person in this equation, Golic, who I would be willing to hear his qualms would be Kenny Atkinson, because he was the guy that had a hand in establishing this organization, not only as respectable, but as contenders in the East, right? And then ultimately, the voice gets stale, whatever the argument you want to make. But ultimately, he's not able to take the team into the promised land when the new talent comes in. But if you ain't Kenny Atkinson, then get your popcorn and turn on your TV and just enjoy the ride. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
That's the crazy part, because I look at the top of the league right now for this year, and when you look at the payrolls, when you look at the contracts going out this year, Brooklyn, yeah, they're only second to Golden State, which, man, you want to talk about an unfortunate return on your investment during this season outside of Steph Curry in that spot. But you look at the other teams up there. It's the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the 76ers. It's the Clippers. Like, it's no secret that's what you've got to do in all these spots. That's the modern NBA. And so, yeah, Monica, to what you brought up earlier, I've been sitting around wondering and kind of looking around, because I'm 31 going on 32, and so I feel like I'm getting in the range where I've got to watch out for the things that are going to turn me into a hater. Like, I'm very nervous. Like, have you found anything that you've looked at now in the
I'm
way the game's
there.
Going? You're already
I'm
there.
Already there. I'm already, and I'm with you. This is year 32, and I'm already there on the music that these kids are listening to. Like, what's this latest dance? Like, what are they singing about? You know, I used to think that was cute when I was y'all age too. It's not so cute when you get older. I'm already there when it comes to music. I've not turned into hating on my sport, though. I think women's basketball is in a great spot. But there are certain things that I'm already there. I'll admit it. It just happens. Maybe it's an over 30 thing, because it happens.
I think so. It was TikTok for me, by the way. I'm terrified of it. Don't know what to do with it. Every once in a while, I log on. I always say I get my TikTok through a dealer. Like, I've got to get it through somebody else here, because if I had direct access, I don't know what would happen. I'd be really, really scared in that spot. So I think that's probably a good reminder and a good reframing for all this. Like, you hear Julius Erving saying this, and at some point, you get so far removed from the way it was during your time, you can't help but default to that. But I think that when we look at this team, and we hear, like, the perspective, Steve Nash, the Nets head coach, yesterday talked about the decisions they're making around this team as well, which are things that are a little bit foreign to players from a different era, players from a different time, where now you've got the Nets head coach talking about, all right, we're going to work on health and not necessarily where we're at in the standings.
I think health is everything. You know, I mean, it'd be great to have the number one seed. I think it means a lot. It's valuable, but not at the expense of losing players or prolonging our, you know, injury situation. So I think we have to be very careful and make sure that our guys get to the finish line as whole as possible.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And coming up next, that's kind of where I want to go sit, because there's another conversation that has always been lurking in the background for the NBA, but now is finding its way to the forefront again. Some very interesting numbers about the rate of injury this season in the NBA, and if this is going to become a long-term problem for this league. We'll get to that next here. Chinan Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Monica McNutt here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinan Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Chinan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt, kind enough to hang out with us here today on the show. Ryan Holland's going to join us in about 10 minutes here. Our guy, Monica, you just recently had him on your podcast not too long ago, so we get to chop it up with him again a little bit and look around the association at some highlights. But I heard a lot of discussion, Monica. There's some really interesting stats about load management and where we're at in the NBA right now. We've seen so many players injured. We know highlighted last night by the Nets and 76ers, where we had no Kevin Durant, we had no James Harden in that game, we had no LaMarcus Aldridge, and now we know that we are in fact not going to see LaMarcus Aldridge anymore. Announced his retirement earlier today because of some heartbeat issues or heart rhythm issues during one of his last games there. No Blake Griffin as well. So as you've looked at this NBA season, Monica, I know I've noticed anecdotally there's been a lot of primetime instances like that, especially post-All-Star, where we haven't had the full volume of players out on the court. I'm just wondering, and I've heard people asking today, do you think it gets to a point where it actually hurts the NBA product overall? Are we actually hitting that now because of all these injuries, because of the shortened pandemic season and the combination of that?
Golic, I think it's there's two slightly different conversations, though, in what you're saying. Because I think load management of players that are healthy and looking toward the playoffs and what they could do in the real season, right, in terms of chasing an NBA championship, is different from pure injuries. And this year we've had maybe, I'd say a combination of the two. But, I mean, I think people have already forgotten KD is coming back off of, 15-plus games that he missed in this regular season, and then a season and change that he was entirely out. You know what I mean? And so, in theory, your stars not being on the floor, yes, ultimately that affects your bottom line at some point and certainly could be bad for business. But if we're really talking about guys that are injured, like Anthony Davis has an injury history. LeBron James, he's 36. Like, yes, he's been Teflon up until now, but he's 36. Jamal Murray, obviously the headline injury that we've seen this week. Some of that is the game, and we can control injuries. I think the conversation becomes at what point this idea of load management is really starting to affect the game. And I don't have the answer for that, because I think if we keep going, the bottom line and the dollar signs, all of that is in the playoffs. All of that is in the championship. So you need your players to be ready at that point in the season. If Joe and his dad miss, you know, saying their favorite star, I'm sorry, get NBA League Pass.
It's, honestly, though, that's kind of where we're at. And I know for the NBA and for all sports, it's going to be a delicate balance of trying to get people back in stadiums after the pandemic. It was already a battle people were fighting on a lot of fronts before that, because the TV product, to your point, has become so good. But I'm with you, and I think Jamal Murray is kind of the perfect illustration of that. You would always rather have your stars for the big run you're going to need at the end. Because as long as the NBA offseason continues to be as compelling as it always is, the player movement and the big personalities and that NBA playoff model, that NBA postseason is that potent, I really don't think we're going to talk about these dives in TV ratings or difficulties with the contracts here. And you and I may think that, but I know I heard a very upset Stephen A. Smith earlier today on First Take, who had some words for Kevin Durant. Here he was earlier today.
You see what I'm saying? This is that BS that I'm talking about. What we've been looking forward to all day, y'all. What we'll be talking about this morning, the Brooklyn Nets versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons going to be there. Joel Embiid going to be there. But Kevin Durant, one night after dropping 30, suddenly he ain't playing tonight. LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin just got to Brooklyn. All of a sudden, they ain't going to be available tonight. We know James Harden is injured because that brother don't miss games. And, oh, by the way, Kyrie's not on the injured list, so he might be available tonight, but we don't know. Nationally televised game, two top teams in the Eastern Conference, and KD, James Harden, possibly Kyrie is going with Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge joining them. See what I'm saying? See, it's that bull, that BS.
Janan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Monica McNutton. Man, that man wanted to keep his money after that on that last part. You heard him catch it real quick.
Ooh.
It just makes me so mad. But and
Golic, please be eloquent, because I got less than eloquent things to say. But eloquent because you're the pro.
Say the less than eloquent things, because I am here for that. Trust me, I trip over my words all the time around here. We're here for that.
Stephen A., what are we doing? What are we actually doing? Like, he is literally the person that I just described that has forgotten this long time trajectory in terms of recovery for one of the greatest basketball players that we've seen in this generation. I understand that your primetime Wednesday night game, April 14th, is the end all be all. Not like, come on. And how often have we seen, this isn't a KD thing. We have seen for at least a decade now, in terms of my recollection and paying close attention to what NBA teams are doing, back-to-backs with your stars and load management is not new. what are you doing? I don't understand how this became a thing. Like, no. Sit down. Have several seats, please.
I'm with you. Take all the seats on that one. For Kevin Durant in this spot, too, even more understandable because we know this became a back-to-back mm-hmm. because of a game that was canceled and moved because of the horrific and tragic events in Minnesota that happened on Sunday. So you've got that. You've got Kevin Durant, a player who's already a 7-foot-tall player with an Achilles injury there. So you want to talk about lower body, that chain of things that you're trying to protect in all this. But as much as anything, when we talk about load management, I thought this was interesting. ESPN's Tim McMahon, citing data provided by the league office, reported the average number of games per week in this 2019-20 season was 3.42 games per week. That number jumped to 3.6 in the 2020-21 season, and post-All-Star game is at 3.75. So we're jamming more games into these players coming off of a season that was inside a bubble, had a shorter turnaround than any we've seen before, and now we're going to act surprised when these players and these teams are being cautious, and I almost said unnecessarily, but it is highly necessary in this spot because we have all the data about playing in the second night of back-to-backs, 3 games in 4 days, jamming them into certain spots. And now, Monica, I just don't think that especially this year, there's an easy solution to all this. Maybe down the road, and you and I talked about this before the show, maybe you can find something incentive-based that gets these players out here for some of these primetime games that you want. But especially right now, going into this season, it is keep your head down and just try and get out of this thing healthy.
Yeah, it's that simple. And I think you actually made the great point, Golic, and I don't even know if you realized that you did this, but you mentioned the bubble last year. We are still navigating living in a pandemic. And granted, sports for the most part has seemed to do it successfully. I still feel for you, VCU, that couldn't compete in the NCAA tournament. But just because we've been able to do this, we still can't forget all that we're dealing with. Now, I am not saying, I don't want to use that as an excuse. I want us to remember the reality that we're dealing in. The NBA Players Association and the league agreed on this condensed season, but the strain of the condensed season is also real, right? And ultimately, we know this thing keeps coming back down to the ultimate dollar bills, y'all, right? So we just can't forget. Everybody's making sacrifices around the league, around the country in terms of their sustainabilities at their professions and their jobs. The same applies to these NBA players. And so within that sacrifice, if we need to be a little bit more mindful and rest a little bit more so that they can get us, you and I, fans and consumers, a championship series and a playoff series that are worth it, something's gonna have to give, and I for one am willing to give up that Wednesday night game on April 13th.
It has been the theme of the entire year in sports is keep your eyes on the prize, trying to make it to the finish line and all of this. Why would we switch that energy up on this now? Mm-hmm. But at Mike Golic Jr., at McNutt Monica on Twitter, if you think that these load management instances, players missing these primetime games, is bad for the league, let us know. But coming up next, we'll talk load management and is it one man's MVP to lose at this point in the season with one of our good friends, and we'll do it next here after this word from Indeed. Now, regular job sites, they can take days to find the right candidate, but with Indeed, it can take seconds thanks to Indeed Instant Match. Now, it's going to search millions of resumes. There we go. Feels better with the music. It's going to search. I always feel like I am not built to spit a cappella on any of this right now. Like, this is not the end of 8 Mile, as much as Chiney would like to make that joke for me time and time again. Here we go. We'll give it the full musical treatment. Regular job sites can take days to find the right candidate, but with Indeed, it can take seconds thanks to Indeed Instant Match. It searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database and instantly finds you up to 20 people whose resumes match your job criteria. You want to narrow the list down even further? Add an Indeed skills test to see a candidate's skills that go beyond their resume. Maybe that's why Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We're going to talk about big fellas winning the MVP. We got to bring in a big to do it. That's next here. Chiney Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Monica McNutt here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A top flight NFL quarterback getting ready to go in this year's NFL draft. Talking pretty openly, that football doesn't define me. Not going to be the be-all, end-all. Don't have a big chip on my shoulder. tell you who that is and why it matters, and not just for that player here. Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt, kind enough to hang out with us today. You've seen her balling out and around the horn. You see her over at MSG Network doing all these great things. She's coming to hang out with us. It's Chenan, when we looked up Monica at the start of the show, and I thought, you know, Chenan's enjoying a nice day off.
Nope.
And sure as hell, on the jump, talking to another presumptive number one overall pick about being a number one overall pick. She just doesn't know how to not work somewhere.
Must just be working. Working, capital I-N-G on that working. We love to see it.
We do love to see it. We get to celebrate a little bit later. 1:44, the first preview for the ESPN Films documentary about the WNBA bubble. First trailer was released today. Very cool on that. But we've been talking about what's gone on in the NBA between the load management that we've seen, the injuries, and the MVP race. And to help us out with that, we're delighted now to head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our man, Ryan Hollins here, co-host of the Opinionated Seven Footers podcast, former UCLA stud and NBA veteran. And Ryan, if we're going to talk about NBA MVPs, especially big guys, you felt like the right person to come to, because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like at this point, this is Joel Embiid's MVP to lose. Am I crazy?
No, I'm not going to say you're crazy, but I'm not going to necessarily agree. Look, man, I think this race is wide open. You got to understand, right when Joel was just really, really rolling, and keep in mind, as well as he played, they lose the game, if I'm not mistaken, last night. He got injured, and you do have some questions there. You see the door open for Nikola Jokic, but, I mean, guys, man, I think we really got to pay some mind to and give some serious talk. And Golic, last time we talked, that boy James Harden is different. And what you got to realize is everybody could say, well, KD's great, and the rest of the guys are solid. And Kyrie, you know, when he's ready to play, he's second to none. But James Harden has been the steady rock for the Brooklyn Nets. Now, obviously, if Philadelphia has a better record and Embiid is healthy, you're going to go with Embiid. But I think people need to take a really good look over at James Harden. And if Jokic can kind of, you know, get into a third or second spot in the Western Conference, we're going to give him some serious considerations. But look, man, this deal is wide open. We're going to have to look at Donovan Mitchell for Utah's record. We're going to have to see what LeBron, that boy Bron, looks like when he gets back in the lineup. I mean, there's a number of guys. Luka, Uncle Luka over there, you saw what he did last night. Like, we're going to have to start talking about for this MVP race. But I just think I'm so impressed with James Harden, because the question was, you know, his leadership and how is he going to fit. And he's the reason that the Brooklyn Nets are the Brooklyn Nets right now. It ain't KD.
Ooh, Hollins. Mm. Ooh, Hollins. Mm. Okay, here's my thing. And you obviously, 10-year NBA vet, you know the rigmarole. I just feel like we've got to give some credence in this conversation to guys that have been able to stay on the floor and be healthy. So of all of the contenders that you just rolled out right now, that's Nikola Jokic, who's been on the floor all season. That would be Donovan Mitchell, who's got the team, has the best record in the league, and he's the best player on that team. And then I'm starting Dame Lillard. Dame has been on the floor all year for the most part. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you just said Dame. But how much credence do you give to whether or not a guy has been able to play the duration of a season? And we don't know how long James Harden is going to be out. But I do think that that has certainly come up in the conversation as far as LeBron and Joel Embiid are concerned.
Here's the look, man. It all comes down to factors. So if at the end of the season, I'm going to go, and I'm not a voter, but I'm going to go and look at your team wins. Where have you led your team to? How consistent are you? That's the one thing you loved about Giannis the last 2 years. And don't count Giannis out either, or Dame, as you mentioned. How consistent are you? How valuable were you to your team? Was your back against the wall? You know, when you're a player on a really good team, you're not always going to get that same credit. Are you the reason you guys are winning? You know, so there's a couple different elements there that I'm going to look at. And if it is close between, let's say, down the stretch, it's Jokic and Embiid. There you go, Mike. We're going to look at, you know, record, and we're going to look at games played and importance. So, you know, what does your team look like with you out of the lineup? I mean, hell, we ain't talking about this guy. Young Steph Curry looking like he's about to go get it again. And hold on. If Curry gets it, listen, and that's why we talk about record. Because guess what? If Curry right now gets the Golden State Warriors in contention, his numbers are comparable to his MVP years, the last time he got it. So it's not too far off, but we are going to take a good look and stare at record. When Russell Westbrook got it, he gave us something historical out of the eighth seed. So we got to see history. We got to see record. All these things come in, and it's a popularity contest. So who knows what King James might have in store for y'all. So, hey, man, let's get the popcorn out and get ready.
Janane Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Monica McNutt talking to NBA veteran Ryan Hollins here, co-host of the Opinionated 7-Footers podcast. And Ryan, one of the other things we've been talking about is the players that weren't on the court the other night, what we've seen this year. And I want to know if you think what we've seen, the rash of injuries, more players missing games, is more of a product of the short turnaround between NBA seasons, or is this just the way we're going, where the regular season is always going to be more and more managed like this?
Here's the reality, man. And Mike, we both had our time in the league. When back in the day and they played, the game was physical. It was slower. It wasn't played at the same high pace, so guys would bang around. But the reality, they call us soft, but it's a different type of conditioning. Conditioning will break your body down in different ways than physicality. So, yes, when you're Jamal Murray and you're in over 50 to 60 or 70 pick and rolls a night, your body can break down. Yes, guys have to take time off, and soreness is a real thing. I know sometimes you think guys are soft, but soreness is a real thing. So players do need to take time off. And trust me, the 10 years that I played, it wasn't too many people playing 82 games. It is rare that individuals step up and play 82 games. And sometimes guys, just bodies are built different. Mike, you know, more than anybody, Monica, you know it. You have certain teammates who could just get up and play every day and probably didn't even stretch and it worked out. And then you can have guys like me that would be on a training table stretching for 2 hours just to make it, you know, get through a practice. So, you know, everybody is different and everybody's bodies are built differently. And that's why we appreciate guys like LeBron James. But I'm not going to fault a shortened season, because as a pro, you should be conditioned, you should be working hard, and you should be ready. And even if you ain't playing a game, you should be getting it in to where your conditioning and shape is to par. And honestly, if you really look at injuries this season, Jamal Murray's our only all-star that has really gone down. Everybody else has been healthy, and Clay came into the season injured. So it's not like something happened in the season or like Golden State had some amazing run going in.
Okay, so wait, Hollins, are you in or out on load management? Simply, yes or no?
Here's the reality: it's the intent. It's the intent. Okay, is this premeditated murder or is this an accident? Is this something that happened? So look. Here's the reality: when Kawhi Leonard stepped up and said, "I'm going to miss April 5th, you know, January 2nd, and then February 15th, and I'll take a day off there," fans are like, "Oh, what the heck? That's a problem, because you telling me you just not going to play before you know you can't play," you know? But if you wake up the morning on the wrong side of the bed and your ankle is big as a volleyball, and I've seen that, sometimes guys can't play, because I've seen a lot of teammates play through some horrific injuries where you're like, dog, or excuse me, not injuries, I guess. What, are they hurt? They're injured or whatever, little knickknacks. We'll call it knickknacks. And you're like, dude, the dude hobbled in the shoot around in the morning and played that night. So I don't want to judge, but if a player gives a good full steam effort and the team chooses to load manage him, I don't mind. But when you premeditate your load management, yo, we got a problem, guys.
Premeditated load management. This is why he's the best. Follow him at the Ryan Hollins on Twitter. Check out the Opinionated 7-Footers. Ryan, we appreciate the time as always, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Hey, y'all all fine. Hey, you repping with the ladies, Mike. You better, fresh your day now. Come on, man.
Listen, man, I'm just trying to keep up, man. You know what it is? I got way too many accomplished people coming to hang out around here this show, so I've got to just do my best to keep up.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ryan. Again, at the Ryan Hollins on Twitter, 10-year NBA vet, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. But coming up next, we have the WNBA draft coming up later tonight. People are going to make that transition from college to pro. We're a couple weeks out from the NFL draft still. And one prospect came out, said it very plainly, the one thing that usually gets players dinged, why it doesn't seem to apply to this player. We'll tell you what that one thing is next here. Janane Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., and Monica McNutt here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Our thanks to Ryan Hollins for joining us and introducing the term premeditated load management. Monica, I had never heard that, never thought of that, but leave it to Ryan to be the one.
Yes, but I'm also very much distracted by our intro music there. There's always a part of me that wishes I had moves and soul and energy and the talents of Chloe and Halle. This is such a good little song. Yes, it's a summer vibe.
Well, and that's just it. Like, because Monica, it's sunny where you are today, right? Like, there's just a difference, and we figured it out. Chhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Monica McNutt. Chhené does her leg of the show every day from Los Angeles, so she always rolls in here feeling good, tons of energy. Our side in Bristol, we are much more weather dependent. Like, this place feels real good when it's shorts weather, when you can go and sit outside, have a little drink or something like that. And that is not the case up here today. So we appreciate you bringing the energy and helping us out on this.
Well, hang in there, Golic. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Spring is coming.
We are so, so very close around here. Spring is coming, which also means we got the NFL draft coming up a little bit. Monica, this was really interesting to me in light of some conversations we've had about Justin Fields recently. Because remember, we went through that whole cycle with Justin Fields where there were those, you know, anonymous sources talking about his desire to be great and these things about him being able to go to his second read. All these things that have been really proven, disproven, and shot down since then. But we had all those that came from whispers, that came from anonymous things, that didn't really have someone putting a stamp on it. An SI cover story just came out about Trevor Lawrence. The title is Trevor Lawrence is out to prove absolutely nothing. And one of the quotes from that article was, quote, I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but I don't have this chip on my shoulder. I can't manufacture that and I don't want to. Trevor Lawrence's dad said in the article, my son isn't an I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs type of person. And all of these things prompted our own Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL front office insider, to say this about why it's so peculiar that this quarterback won't see any blowback from these comments.
Two things about the NFL, okay? There are quarterbacks that are just maniacal in terms of their preparation and their commitment to the game, and they do want to win at all costs. Quite honestly, the guy who we consider the GOAT, Tom Brady, he has said, if you are not willing to commit yourself in the way that I'm willing to commit yourself, then you're probably going to have a problem matching up with him over time, you know, to paraphrase. You're probably going to have a little bit, be at some kind of deficit at some point in time in a football game against him, because he's someone who is maniacal in terms of making sure that he has all the answers and he is prepared as much as possible and he will do whatever it takes in order to win football games. And winning at the NFL level is hard, man. Playing quarterback at the NFL level is hard. Steve Young used to say it all the time to me on Monday Night Countdown. It's about the details. It's about the preparation. It's about the commitment. And you better be committed on that level. And the last thing I'll just say is this real quick. Remember now, people were questioning Justin Fields. People were questioning Justin Fields, and he hadn't said a word. People were questioning just how committed he was and whether he was going to be one of those guys who's going to put in the time to be great. If Justin Fields had said this kind of thing, what do you think we'd be talking about here this morning? So I'm just going to put that out there, and I'm not questioning Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying, though.
Monica, is he right?
To quote Kendra, one of our terrific teammates in the background, well, go off then, Lewis. He is 100% right, Golic. Now, okay, here we go. We got lots of radio space, so let me flesh out my words here. There is room for more than one thing to be true in this conversation. But the point that Lewis makes, that Justin Fields will not and would not be given the benefit of the doubt if he made such a statement, is 3,000% spot on. Can you be more than 3,000% spot on? Because it doesn't get any more accurate than that. And he's literally said nothing, done nothing, had multiple pro days, showed up with broken ribs, played for his team on the biggest stage possible. And I'm still stuck on how he slid down from being 1A to 1B compared to Trevor Lawrence down to the 10th pick in the draft. Somebody still got to help me out with that. So yeah, I mean, not that I would ever disagree with Lewis it because he's just like that, but yeah, he nailed it.
He did nail it, and I think this, Monica, is also worth stating, is that's not a slight to Trevor. This should be something we welcome from more players. I remember the same thing happened to Myles Garrett not too long ago here, a player of a very different skin complexion than Trevor Lawrence, who talked about how much he loved poetry and loved dinosaurs and had interest outside of football, and people looked at that like it was a bad thing, when in reality, this is a generation of players where that's going to be more common, and it should be something we get to celebrate. and not something that's legislated very differently against black players and white players as we head towards this prize. Because in a little bit, we'll read you some stats about Justin Fields relative to Trevor Lawrence that should absolutely contextualize why we've already seen movement around the betting favorite at that third overall pick. Now, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We just got to be fair in the way that we do this. We've called it out a lot this year, which feels like we're getting closer, but we need to not let these things happen at all, these anonymous sources chirping in the wind. But coming up next, we're going to put our name on an MVP discussion in the NBA here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.